Good morning, I'm Sheila Cast. We're On the Record. Whether you and Fluffy are longtime pals or Mr. Meow is a new addition to your family, the pandemic has meant lots of time spent with our furry friends. But as workers return to the office, your cat or dog may be in for a rude awakening. How can pet owners make this transition smooth? When should we begin preparing pets for a new routine? Maria Montgomery is lead trainer and behavior consultant for the Maryland SPCA. The Maryland SPCA is an independent nonprofit located in Baltimore. The group runs a shelter and veterinary clinic, and in 2020, the Maryland SPCA rescued more than 1,500 pets. Maria Montgomery, welcome to the show.
Hi, Sheila. Nice to be here.
When should you start preparing your pets for your return to work, your return to the office or wherever you work?
I would say start now. It's kind of like getting back in shape. So our pets really need to learn how to get back in shape being by themselves again. So they've had us for 13, 14 months now, working in their environment and always being with them. Dogs are really social beings and they like that. They like us being around, but to transition, it's going to be gradual and it's going to take time. And it's one of those things you really don't want to rush through. So I would say start today. If you have time to brush your teeth for 3 minutes, you have 3 minutes to start working on some alone training with your pet.
Well, so starting means what?
So just gradually bringing in the routines that you had prior to COVID. So when you were departing before, and if it wasn't a big deal, teaching them just paying attention to what they did before you left and just being very nonchalant about it. One of the things I really recommend for people to purchase is a Wi-Fi camera because you don't know what your pet's doing when you're not around. And you need that body language or that knowledge of saying, hey, what's my pet doing when he is not, when I'm gone? And so that gives you an idea of what they're doing, how they're feeling. Are they pacing? Are they whining? Or are they just bored and exploring?
Okay, but I would have thought the big thing is the hours when you're away. And if that hasn't yet started yet, I'm not quite clear on how you get ready for it.
Yeah, so you can start by you're not working at your computer all day long, or even if you are, you still need to take some breaks. So taking those little breaks and picking up your keys, walking out the door and standing outside your door just for a few minutes to get them acclimated to being alone is a nice start. So being predictable about leaving, just as you used to be predictable about leaving before, will really help them with different patterns. And dogs really thrive when they have a pattern that they are familiar with and things are predictable. I wouldn't start by, day one, you are 8 hours at home with your pet. And then day two, you're gone for 8 hours. That's just a bit traumatic and hard on your dog.
What supplies can help this transition go more smoothly?
Yeah. So as I had mentioned earlier, the Wi-Fi camera, and you can find Wi-Fi cameras, online for as little as $20, $25 that connect to your phone so you can observe your dog. Now, some people like to crate their dogs when they're gone, and that's fine. So if your dog is already accustomed to a crate, start using that crate now and just closing the door, walking out of the room for a few minutes, and then gradually walking out of the home, because sometimes they can still sense when you're in the room, but you're starting to create a new pattern. It's like alone fitness, if you will, training them to be comfortable being by themselves. If your pet is not comfortable in a crate, another option would be baby gates for a certain room, or what we call X pens. They look like play pens, but they're for dogs. And they're like a bunch of gates that are connected with some bedding, a bowl of water, and some things for your dog to do. So for some dogs, it's not necessarily an anxiety driven thing, but just boredom. So give them some work to eat toys, such as Kongs, snuffle mats. On our website, we've got a lot of really great ideas on how to entertain our dogs while they're home alone.
And of course, we will link to that. We tend to think of cats as more independent. Can they experience separation anxiety?
They can. Cats as well as dogs are, they love their routine. So any shift in a routine will increase their stress levels. So cats especially are helpful. They may adjust to being alone a lot quicker than dogs, but they still like their predictable patterns throughout the day. So I would definitely work with cats as well. And cats are just as trainable as dogs. In fact, we've clicker trained cats at the shelter, and it's been really fun to see what quick learners they are.
You alluded to this, but tell me more about what signs of stress an owner should be watching out for.
So if you have all your equipment in place and you're watching them, say, through their camera, or even if you're watching them at home as they figure out that you're getting ready to depart, pacing, heavy panting, shaking when they're not wet is another one, itching when they're not scratching for something specific. So normal behavior that's taken out of context is usually a sign of a dog dealing with stress. Also stiffness. So if they start to stiffen up and their eyes get rounder instead of loose and relaxed, those are body language that we can observe that's helpful for us to understand what's going on internally, because we can't read their minds, but we can see through their body language how they're feeling inside.
When is stress enough that you should talk to your vet?
So when you've tried the protocols, when you've started out gradually working your dog to your departures, and you've been taking these baby steps and you're not making any progress with those baby steps, and you're finding that your dog is kind of stuck at this one spot. So you can leave the house and you notice that after 5 minutes, they're still not settling, or 10 minutes or whatever the time is for the individual dog. And you know that you're not moving forward, that's a good time to see a vet, and especially a vet who has some skills in behavior. That would be a good next step.
This is On the Record on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cass speaking with Maria Montgomery, lead trainer and behavior consultant at the Maryland SPCA. We're talking about preparing pets for their humans to return to the office. Some people may sign their dog up for a doggy daycare program. How do you know if your dog would enjoy that kind of environment?
So doggy daycare is great for dogs who are social with other dogs and who are comfortable being in an environment with multiple dogs, because doggy daycares, there's a lot of dogs there. So for some dogs, that's the perfect fit. And it may just mean taking them there every other day. Some dogs will do well every day there. I would suggest interviewing some of these doggy daycares and making sure that their protocols and how they introduce dogs to one another in their environment is something that appeals to you and would fit your dog's personality. Another option for dogs who are social, but they don't want a big crowd, they just want to be social with one or two dogs, would be people who are offering their homes. I know there's a couple of companies out there like Rover.com where they're offering their home out and you just take your dog to their home. The third option would be if you have friends and family who are also working from home that you can drop your dog off with. So there's a lot of people out there who would love to have a dog, but don't, and don't want the commitment of having a dog, you know, 24/7. So if you can make friends, or if you've already have a friend like that, that would be a nice little partnership for your dog. And then it kind of alleviates the stress that your dog is experiencing when you're away.
In addition to getting enough physical exercise, you say it's important for dogs to get mental exercise too. How?
Physical exercise is important, but what people don't understand is that working their brains, dogs are really smart beings. And, you know, they were scavengers 10,000 years ago. So working to get food is an easy way for a dog to use his brain to displace some of that static energy in their mind. It's similar to us doing a crossword puzzle or Sudoku, or even our taxes, where our taxes can be kind of exhausting at times. So we've got, there's lots of ideas out there. You can purchase work to eat toys that are wobbly, and they've got to figure out how the food comes out of it. There's a lot of homemade toys that you can make. My favorite place to go for enrichment for your dog is honestly is the recycle bin. If you know your dog is not going to eat the paper, I will use a cereal box and I'll put their kibble in it. I'll close the lid and I'll see, they'll try to eviscerate the box just to get at the food. And that's actually more satisfying to a dog than eating free food out of a bowl.
Let me ask you about barking. Barking can be a very annoying indication that your dog notices every person, dog, or mail carrier who walks by. How do you go about teaching a dog not to bark so much?
Barking is, it's like the million-dollar question. It's really tricky, and it really does depend on the breed of your dog. So schnauzers, the barking was actually bred into them. So terriers, the barking was bred into them so they could ferret out animals from underground. So we have these dogs that we actually bred the barking into them, and now we're asking them to be quiet. So in many cases, if we give them some mental outlets to work on, that will be helpful, what we talked about earlier with the work to eat toys. The other thing would be to make sure that their environment when they're alone doesn't elicit that trigger. So a mailman or the UPS guy coming by is pretty predictable. And so they enjoy barking at that because it gives them something to do. So when they're alone, try to have some white noise available or have some music on. Classical music is really good, or some just really nice Baroque, deep, calming music to mask the noises outside so they're not as vigilant of what's going on out there. So if they're home alone and they don't have a whole lot of things to do, they're going to start paying attention to the sounds around them. So if we mask that, that'll help dampen their desire to be barking again. When home, I like to use a technique called the three bark rule. And that's where they bark at something. I'll say, thank you. And they'll look back at me like, what? And they'll usually stop. And I'll give them a treat for that because I'm promoting the quiet after the bark. It's like, thank you for barking once and for warning me. You did your job. Now we're done with the barking. So the more you promote that at home, the idea is when you're not home, that should not be practiced. But not letting them rehearse the behavior is one way to let them kind of lose their flexibility or lose their shape in that behavior.
There is so much information on the internet and so many people purporting to be experts about pets. What should people look for in a trainer?
So unfortunately, here in the United States, the dog training industry is unregulated. So anybody can put up a sign and say they're a dog trainer. And what I encourage people to do is to look at known organizations. So the certification for professional dog trainers is an example of that. And make sure that whoever you hire to train you and your pet, they're certified. Find out what their certifications are and what their methods of training are. At the Maryland SPCA, we're a fear-free, force-free environment. And we work primarily in a positive training environment in that we reinforce behavior we like. And the more you reinforce the behavior you like, that fills up most of your dog's day. So you're not focusing on the behavior you don't like. And that's where I would start. We've got lots of information regarding trainers and training techniques at our shelter, too, that we would be happy to share with anybody who's interested.
And what other resources does the Maryland SPCA offer?
Well, we have training ourselves. And so when before COVID, we were only training in person, traditionally running classes or private sessions. And then when everything shut down, we learned to pivot. And so we pivoted with online training. And then we created an video on demand class as well. And both of those, along with our in-person training that we just started back on with All-Star Canine and with our Reactive Rover series. So we've kind of learned to grow in this environment, and we've got a hybrid type of training where we can meet people's needs in a variety of different ways. And it's really been a fun journey to see who benefits from training with their dog via Zoom in their living room, who signs up for our video classes, and just, you know, at midnight, they can click on our videos and watch them, and then who shows up in person to train on our property.
Reactive Rover classes?
Yeah. So we all are reactive, I think. If you're living and breathing, you react to the world around you. But the word reactive rover really applies to dogs who bark, lunge, and growl on leash. And it can look pretty offensive. Some people even use the term aggressive. But really, it's a dog who is either fearful on leash from a dog coming close to them, or they're frustrated. The leash itself creates a barrier where they can't approach the other dog and be social. So the leash is just a man-made object that we use for safety to keep our dogs near us. But from a dog's perspective, it prevents them from being dogs. And I know we need to live in a world where we have to have leashes. So our Reactive Rover class is one of our most popular classes. And we also have a webinar that we teach dogs about, we teach people, sorry, about what reactivity is. And it's really learning how to observe your dog and what your dog is communicating with you.
Maria, thanks for all these great ideas. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Sheila. Thanks so much for having me.
Maria Montgomery is the lead trainer and behavior consultant for the Maryland SPCA. At the On the Record page, we have links to the Maryland SPCA's resource library of training tips and to information about upcoming classes. We need to take a short break here on the record. When we're back, a Stoop story on the animal kingdom. I'm Sheila Cass. Stay with us.
Thanks for listening to this segment of On the Record with Sheila Cast. You can catch the show on the radio Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 10 a.m. on 88.1 WYPR, your NPR news station. And you can support On the Record and all the other public radio programs that WYPR brings to you. Just click the donate link at the top of WYPR.org. And thanks.